This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to everyone in the Māori Manawatū here on Manawatū's People Radio, 999 AM, with the Flatting Today team. That's right, I'm Cam.
And I'm Daniel.
We're also the duo Dynamic. I call us the Dynamic Duo, the cool Dynamic Duo, from the Manawatū Tenants Union, who deals with all things tenancies, most things housing, related problems, concerns, queries or questions. Queries and questions are one and the same thing, I just realised.
It's all good, but yes, give us a pester if you have any problems. info@mtu.org.nz
Yes.
Or 0635 77435.
And on the off chance you're a landlord that loves listening to community radios, we'll happily have conversations with landlords, because we're also all about making sure that landlords are able to get it right for the interests of their tenants, because if they do that, then there shouldn't be any disputes with their tenants.
Yes, it makes it much easier for us as well.
Yes, because then we can just go, yes, the landlord's done it right, you've got it right, this is how the tenant then needs to respond, and it just works so more harmlessly. So we're going to go to our first song before we talk about our topic for our edition three of the 2024 series. But our first song, appropriately named, is by Savage Garden, Change to You, like tenants are changed to landlords and other housing that's provided for them. I don't know if the lyrics in the song are going to relate to it, but just the name does. So we're going with that. We'll go. So here we go.
Acting like a a sugar dancing to Madonna, then you kiss me. I can't take anymore because
Chain to You, Savage Garden. Probably appropriate. Not sure, but it's the name is, so who? So, for edition three of the 2020 full series, we're going to bring back a topic we've brought up in the past, ghost houses.
Ah, yes, the ones... Oh, where was that where we were talking about it? One of the small towns, wasn't it? Like Levin sort of area?
Yes, Shannon. Had
Shannon,
some,
there we go.
So just for our people, what is a ghost house?
So a ghost house is generally one that there's no tenant in it, no one living there, and it's been that way for a very long time. Somebody owns it, they're just not putting anyone in.
It's yes.
A terrible idea because you're still paying for all of the like, rates and everything. And if no one's there maintaining it, it's just wearing down and slowly falling over. To make it even more expensive when yes. You do decide to put someone in.
Yes. So the Defence Force, Daniel, that is, you know, the organisation that controls our military services. So that's the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. I don't know about the Coast Guard here. I think that's a very American thing. Defence Force face $3 billion housing problem. New Zealand Armed Services are... New Zealand Armed Services, the Defence Force, in a battle, are on the defence in the battle for the home front with hundreds of government-owned houses that have fallen to disarray.
Yes, this is very much one of those. Whatever department of the government happens to own the houses, they need to keep them up to scratch and ahead of the private market to show like, hey, this is the example of the best way to do it.
The Defence Force has reportedly lost roughly a third of its uniformed staff in the last 3 years, which it attributes in part to substandard homes.
And that will happen, yeah.
In a recent report, it said that while its houses would meet healthy home standard, they would still be unfit for modern living without urgent intervention. It said the military homes provided the defence personnel and their families were posing health risks and could cause housing-related stress. The solution, according to Defence Force, is a $1.011 billion cash injection over 25 years, in addition to $2 billion from its existing budget. So that is a lot of zeros on the end of those checks.
$3 billion to, well, I suppose the first thing that comes to mind is if they are up to healthy home standards, they should be suitable for modern living and not making anyone sick.
Yes.
If it's making people sick, then it's definitely not up to the standards. Although the standards, again, they are the bare minimum and they should be much higher than they are. That's another matter.
Yes. So this would yield, so this $3 billion would yield 1,000, so just commit this number to a memory for me, Daniel, 1,628 modern quality homes. Mm-hmm. For this money, 227 new homes would be built, while 877 would be refurbished, and a further 524 would be leased from the private market, which is understandable because essentially if you need to house that many people and you're going to need to house them until you can build them and fix them up. my concern is that that then puts our defence force potentially competing against the other people in the private market.
I mean, that's kind of how it is at the moment. You know, a lot of the, I'm pretty sure Ohakia, most of the people who end up going out there, there aren't houses in Ohakia Air Base these days. So you have to go live in Bulls, in which case you are competing with everyone on the private market, or you go to Palmerston North and compete there. I don't know if it is exactly the same in other areas, but I'm pretty sure it is.
That would make
sense. Lucky enough to end up, you could end up in a barracks.
Well, that would make sense because effectively, like if we look at our renting market as a whole, they would include soldiers. So I was just concerned that if they're grabbing up houses that people in hotels could be living in. You know what I mean? Like, it's catch 22, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they definitely are. And they should be providing houses, especially the amount of times that they need to move people around.
So the armed forces are struggling hugely with retention. And I think it's probably at the tipping point, but no one would admit it, one said. They said their house. So they've obviously gone along and interviewed a few people from former staff, heard from former serving defence personnel. So these are shared stories from people who have been with defence force and live in them. So they said their house was poorly insulated with drafty windows, and running a heat pump to warm it was expensive. It had been cheap rent that had made the equation work.
Yep, well, I mean, that definitely doesn't sound like it's meeting the healthy home standards, but that's another matter again.
So they have a family in the Navy, Navy-owned subsidised housing, living in a four-bedroom house which costs around $320 a week. So that's probably really good rent.
Oh, yeah, definitely good rent these days, four-bedroom house. In Palmy anyway.
It sounds like a great deal, but the reality is more complicated. Defence General Manager of Estate Strategy, Phil Guernsey, points out that defence sets its rents based on the going market rate in Manawatu, and in Auckland, homes could be up to $350 a week cheaper than the market rate. Yeah, well, it's good to know that they base their prices on Palmerston North.
Oh, yes. It is also the case of, sure, you can do that. The market rate is not really a good indicator of what they should be, especially if you want people to stay, mentioned about the retention problem.
However, personnel say that that has to be put into context of a hard-won play increase announced in May. They got an average rise of 30%. Meanwhile, one defence employee has had a 50% increase in rent compared to 3 years ago and was expecting a further 35% increase in April. They said it meant that they had effectively had a pay cut. Yes.
Yep.
Because the thing is, it's coming out of their salary, and I understand as it comes out of their salary. So if your rent goes up and your salary as a defence force hasn't gone up, you've just lost.
Yep.
You've just lost money out of your pay, really.
Unless you're in the private market, then your rent has probably gone up even more and you've still got the reduction.
I know of single parents who struggle to make ends meet. Even as an officer, they are living paycheck to paycheck. One personnel said, according to the government's careers website, Navy officers start on $51,000 and can progress to between $70,000 to $84,000 when they reach ensign level, lieutenants can earn up to $117,000. But if you're earning $51,000, that's below the average wage. That's just slightly below the average income, and then you're paying your rent out of that. So that's your salary less taxes, because you've still got to pay tax on your salary from the Defence Force. Then you have your rent deducted and you get what's left.
Which does not leave a huge amount left these days.
Broadly, personnel describing how housing had most impact on the cost of living for young families. On this, the Defence agrees. Defence said that it had modelled the future needs of houses based on the number of personnel with more than 5 years but fewer than nine. This group of critical to military output have skills to be fully effective in their role and are known to be a higher risk of leaving the Defence Force, often due to family reasons.
Which makes perfect sense. I mean, you want to support those who are going and making families who also happen to be that very middle rung in the hierarchy. But yes, you definitely need to have the support networks in place for them to live somewhere.
Yes. So the Crown has now been obligated to hand over 270 of the Navy's houses to Maruatu under a settlement, which will leave just 27 homes in that suburb. It comes as the Navy has completed its 32nd report in 26 years on whether it is worthwhile holding on to its base in Devonport and looking at the case of shifting it to Whangarei. It presents the opportunity to take into account support systems for the Navy personnel, including improved well-being, better work-life balance improvements. Well, if you're moving to Whangarei where there's no house, that's a worse situation for housing, I would have thought.
Definitely different, but yes, I don't entirely know what their criteria happen to be, but I don't think housing provision is one of them, or they wouldn't be in this current problem.
So the report still found that Devonport had a superior deep water canal and a presence should be retained. A full move to move the base from Devonport to Whangarei would cost $945 million more than staying there.
Yeah, I suppose that's still the case of if they've only got, 27 houses left there, they probably need to invest that amount of money in getting some more suitable houses.
Yes. So just to, you know, tip it off a little bit more for this situation is another issue. Personnel are only permitted to live in Navy subsidised housing for 6 years.
I think that's pretty similar to the Army and the Air Force too.
Yes, I think it's a standard policy across the board from what I understand. After which they either have to hope for an extension or find a new home.
So it's one of those cases of, as renters, we tend to know how enjoyable it was at the end of a one-year fixed-term tenancy.
Yes.
Which is fortunately not currently as much of an issue as it was. Whereas, like, do I get to stay here or do I have to move? And the armed forces got at least five, but it's tied up in extra policy. So it's not just like, am I a good tenant? It's am I a good tenant? And will they decide they just want someone else here? Are they going to force me out and be able to do absolutely nothing about it? Because another fun thing, Defence Force housing not covered by the RTA?
Yes, there is no, and this is the problem, is that these people and these Defence Force housing have no recourse because it's excluded from the RTA. So if you're in Defence Force housing, sorry, it's not obligated to it. But furthermore, like a service tenancy, your employer is your landlord. So the moment you start enforcing your rights as a tenant, you're going to cause yourself problems at work.
Yep. Yes, and you don't get that that rollover that automatically happens.
So just to give you an idea, it's a numbers game, right? So Defence Force employs 9,600 personnel. So that would be soldiers, gunners, Army, Navy.
Support, that sort of thing, yep.
2,700 reserves. So that's in case we go to war and we need some backups. And 3,100 civilian staff. So my understanding of civilian staff includes like your payroll clerk and your HR person and your recruiter and all that sort of stuff who are not actually working in the defence roles. They are administrating, and has only 1,821 houses.
Yeah, a wee bit short.
So I don't know about you, but I don't think 9,000 goes into 1,821 too well.
It depends how much flatting you want to do. I suppose there is a bit of some of them being going to be posted overseas. We're going to have barracks set up for, you know, single people, because you can't really put a young family in a barracks. That would be a terrible idea. But yes, we're still running very short on the amount required.
Yeah. Well, yes, we are. So in the meantime, the Defence Force is changing mode from landlord to tenant. It plans to rent 243 properties near Devonport, 75 at Papakura, 34 in Wellington, and increase the number of leases in Whangapai, Whenuapai, to 172. In what appears to be a trial, it has already leased 15 two-bedroom units and 7 three-bedroom units in a brand-new development in Northcote. In its housing patch, Defence said that the nature of the jobs was that it had to deploy personnel to various locations, and having available housing supported that. It allows the Defence Force to post personnel where they are needed to deliver military outputs, including location with high cost of living and limited housing. How did our armed forces get to the point of needing billions to prop up its housing? According to the pitch document prepared for former Defence Minister Andrew Little, and most of the stock is over 60 years old and does not meet modern functionality or is in marginal physical condition.
In other words, it's falling down.
Yes. In the last 5 years, the military has been able to stump up 10.5 million on maintenance for its housing stock. Guzny told staff that Defence had gained initial approval from the previous government for the $3 billion program dubbed Homes for Families. Now it is preparing a full implementation business case for the new reign. Staff asked newly appointed Defence Minister Judith Collins whether she intended to oversee the implementation but received a non-committal response. This is an operational matter and as such we are happy to leave it to the New Zealand Defence Force to comment. So we might need $3 billion of housing for our Defence Forces, but the government is non-committal on it.
Non-commental on it. No, yep. And it's one of those, hey, people have to live somewhere. It doesn't matter if this investment happens or not. The people are still going to be staying in the houses available. And that would be pushing out into the private market.
Yes. And I just want to be a reality check out there to people is that it's not just the Defence Force. Kai Angaroa, formerly Housing New Zealand, are in the same position. For many years, they sold off and failed to maintain houses, which put us into this housing crisis where we've got a lot of people in emergency housing because the state don't even have enough maintained houses. And then when they're struggling to maintain their current houses on top of building, it's not a surprising.
Yes, we've sort of ended up in that situation of, hey, we've got a shortage. Fine, we can. If we make enough efforts, we could get there, but we're going slower than the rate of like population growth, sort of thing.
Yes.
We keep on getting promises of like 10,000 houses a year, and the government consistently falls short of that. And also, like, okay, 10,000, cool. That's still not enough, even if you did manage to do it.
Yes. And it becomes harder because when you promise 10,000 a year and can only deliver 2,000, then you're effectively, you're 8,000 behind on your own target on top of the next 10,000 that you need to build.
Yeah. It just keeps on getting pushed out further and further, and the numbers just get bigger until it becomes impossible. Or a new government comes in because you've failed all your promises, and then they can scrap all that and not do anything.
And that is the other concern we have, is that then it becomes your problem that you're homeless.
Yeah.
You're the reason you're homeless because you can't pay the rent. Why should we do anything to help you?
Ah, yes, and since there's not the houses there because nobody's been – well, not nobody, that the government hasn't been a viable competitor who's investing in it, the rents are higher than they would be otherwise.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So it's just to remind people that, like, this sounds really bad for the Defence Force, but this is probably a prime example of what happens and how much it costs when you neglect housing. And they're probably just the last bunch of people to be dealing with it. Yes, because we need our Defence Force staff to power our tanks and our boats and our ships, and if we can't get them because we've got nowhere for them to live.
Yep, there's always the possibility. The discussion of whether we need a defence force as it is, and if we can't stick them anywhere in housing, it might not be a discussion. It might be a, well, I guess we don't have one anymore.
Exactly. So that is a prime time to take a stop because we are out of time. We are out of time. We've got to play out to our last song, so you can enjoy the last 3 minutes of our show of music. We've got Panic at the Disco is what we've got coming up. So thank you all for listening to our edition 3 of the 2024 series. I'm Cam.
And I'm Daniel.
Thank you for listening.
Ta-ta for now.
Was no accident. This was a therapeutic chain of events.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.